Thank you, Dean, for asking me to teach. It's a great blessing. Ambassadors, right? We heard what an ambassador is. Dean told us. Does anyone know what an ambassador is? Anyone have that definition or close to some kind of definition of an ambassador to a country? No one knows. I can give you mine. It's all right. I got it. Ambassador. I have a different definition, but it's pretty similar. Represents their home country's government and act as a spokesperson for their nation's interests, policies, and viewpoints. So that's an ambassador. And we also heard from Dean that it's someone that's personally picked, right? They're nominated by the person that's in charge to represent them. So if you're an ambassador, you kind of need to know who you're representing, right? You need to know what they stand for. You need to know their viewpoints, whatever I said, interests, policies, and viewpoints, right? Turn to John 15, please. John 15. One thing that Jesus Christ did was he helped people to see who God was, what God is like, how God loved. And so we're going to look tonight at how Jesus Christ was an ambassador of God's love, how he represented God's love. John 15:9 says that Jesus Christ loved people how God loved him. Who wants to read John 15:9? LJ, you didn't even volunteer, but I knew you wanted to, right? John 15:9. Stand up and read aloud, please.
John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love.
Perfect. Thank you. So Jesus Christ loved people the way that God loved him. And we can do the same. We just have to learn how God loves us, and then we can love other people with that same type of love. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through some of the Gospel of John, and we're just going to look at examples of where Jesus Christ loved people and practical ways that he was able to manifest that love to people. Before we do that, though, I have to tell you about this kind of love. So the love of God is different than the love that we have in the world. It's very different, right? The love of God, it doesn't depend on if you ate enough that day and you're hangry. It doesn't depend on feelings. It doesn't depend on emotion or anything like that. The love of God, you decide in your mind that you're going to love someone. You make that decision, and then you never go back on that. That's the way that God loves us. He loves us unconditionally. There's no condition. So even if, you know, if I'm loving Isabel, if she does something really mean to me, which I don't think she's even capable of, but maybe, I would still decide to love her. If she, like, just hated me and didn't want anything to do with me, I still make that decision to love her. And that's the way that God loves us, and that's the way that we can love each other. So the love of God, it's unconditional. It's a lot different than the way that people love in the world. And we'll see how Jesus Christ manifested that love. So turn to John. Did I tell you turn to John? John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. John 1, and we'll start in verse 35. John 1, 35. It says, "Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, 'What seek ye? What do you guys want?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, being interpreted, 'Master,' 'where do you live?'" Okay, so Jesus is walking, and two guys start following him. And he turns around, and he's like, "What do you guys want?" And they say, "Where do you live?" And he said, "You stalkers, get away from me," right? No, let's see, what does he say? So, "Where dwellest thou? Where do you live?" He said unto them, "I'm really important, and I don't need to talk to you guys." No, he said, "Come and see." How simple is that, right? They asked Jesus where he lives, and he said what? "Come and see." Pretty simple. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. How cool is that? You'll see, if you go through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus Christ spent a lot of time just with one person or two people at a time. You know, he also fed the multitudes and spent time teaching the multitudes, but a lot of the time he spent with just one person or two people. And he was a busy guy, right? I mean, I forget how long his public ministry was, but it was short, less than a year. He had a lot to accomplish, but his time, he decided to spend it with just one or two people at a time and really share with them. And that's what the love of God is, really. I mean, it's hard to love a whole multitude of people, right? You just love one person at a time. One person at a time, you decide to love them. Let's see, go to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. So we have to have time for people. Really, we need to make time for people. You always have time. You need to make time for people. And that's not hard to do. It just takes kind of forgetting yourself. You know, everybody's busy. You'll never meet a person that doesn't say that they're busy, even if they have nothing to do. Everybody's busy, but everyone can also make time for people. And Jesus Christ did. He was walking home or walking somewhere, right? And they said, "Where do you live?" He said, "Come and see." And they came and they spent the day with him. You know, I don't know how many hours that was. I don't know what they talked about. But he loved them with the love of God. It's very cool. And he was able to show them what God's love is like too. Because how many times do you try to talk to God and he's like, "Sorry, I'm busy," right? God's always there. He's always ready. He's always listening. How many times have you like had to stay up late because you're upset and you're thinking about something and God just wasn't there because he went to bed already, right? We can do the same for each other, right? It's never happened. God doesn't rest. He's always there. He's always ready. And we can do the same for each other. We need to make the time for each other to love people with the love of God. Where did I tell you to go? I don't even know. Philippians chapter 2, right? Okay. Let's see. Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things." Don't look at, you know, your own interest, what you want. "But every man also on the things of others." Look at what somebody else wants. What do they need? And what does it say in verse 5? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in" who?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus, right? This is how he thought. This is how he acted. And it's how we can act too. That when I'm with you, when I'm with Hannah, this Hannah, I'm just happen to be talking about her. I also have a wife, Hannah. When I'm with, oh, and she's right behind, right there. There she is. When I'm with this Hannah right here in front of me, she's the most important person in the world at that time. And that's how we should be with each other. Because that's how it is with God. You know, you're the most important person to God all the time. When we're with one person, they should be the most important person to us at that time. What do they need? How can I bless them? You know, you put their interests, what they need at that time, in front of your own. That's loving with the love of God, and it's really simple. And that's one way that you can get really blessed, is by taking care of people. You know, just telling people what they need at that time, by God working in you, giving them the word. It's a great way to live. Go to John chapter 3. We'll go back to John. So there's this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and it's a great chapter on the love of God. It talks about a lot of qualities of the love of God. And we'll reference some of them. So you don't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians 13:4 says that the love of God is not puffed up, or it's not puffed up with pride. We don't need to be puffed up with pride. You know, if someone comes to us and they, you know, want to spend time with us, we don't have to think, "Oh no, I'm so important. You know, you're just some lowly person. I don't need to spend time with you." It's like we're not puffed up with pride, no matter who it is, no matter what age they are, or, you know, what gender or whatever. They're the most important person. You know, you love them with the love of God, no matter who they are. John chapter 3. Oh, and I wanted to give an example, too. So we just had a summer camp last month, I think, right? Last month, yeah. And it was really great. So I heard from these two people that I'm going to talk about separately, and they were both just like super blessed, right? And so one of them was Mateo, and the other one was Nick, and they're both here, which is cool. And I asked them both if I could share this, and they said yes, so I'm not embarrassing them. But so there's at the summer camp, there's this like basement area, and there's games and stuff. There's pool and ping pong and whatever. And it's getting like pretty late. Both of them are down there. There's other people down there, whatever. And so Nick and Mateo really don't know each other. I don't even know if they met before that or anything. But Nick was like, "Anyone want to play pool?" And Mateo, he tells me later, he was like, "I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about going to hang out with my friends upstairs, whatever. I don't know." But he makes the decision in his mind. He's like, "You know what? I'll play pool with Nick." It's like such a simple thing. I'll play pool with Nick. If this is not how it goes, you guys can also tell me I'm wrong. So they play pool together, they talk about the word, and it's just Nick, like when after we got home from camp, Nick was like, that was a highlight of my camp, was just talking with Mateo. You know, and it's so cool because it's just the love of God. It's just the love of God, right? He had to make that choice, Mateo. You know, let me go hang out with the people I'm comfortable with and hang out with my friends, or hang out with this other guy, Nick, that I don't really know that well. But they just really blessed each other. Nick was so blessed by it. Mateo was super blessed by it that he got to do that too. And that's how simple it is. That's the love of God. You know, you just decide to care about somebody else. It's not very hard. It's not very difficult to understand. And it's really cool because you guys are very good at doing that. You know, this group of believers is known throughout, you know, wherever, for being really loving, just really loving. And that's a great thing to be known for. We'll go to John 3 in verse 16. Everyone knows that verse. Who wants to read that for me? John 3:16. Hannah, go ahead.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you. So we all know that verse, right? Like, we've heard that even in non-biblical places, like playing football. This verse is like a really cool verse. Guess how many people Jesus Christ was talking to when he said that? Go to chapter 3, verse 1. We'll start in verse 1. You're right, it is one person, by the way. Verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, and then they go into this whole conversation about being born again. Then you get to verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That verse that we all know, that was spoken to just one person at night. How cool is that? It was just to Nicodemus. And that's what it is to love with the love of God. You know, you love one person. And we're talking about being ambassadors, right? We're being ambassadors for Jesus Christ and about knowing how to do that, you know, knowing what he stood for, what he would do in a situation. What he would do in a situation would be just love one person. If you want to be an ambassador to one person, you know, one person at a time. And that doesn't always look really cool. You know, you're not always up in front of everybody, but you're loving with the love of God. And that's what God cares about, and that's what we should care about too. So Jesus Christ, again, he spent a lot of time just with one person at a time, or two people, and shared stuff with them. Let's see, we'll go to John 4. John 4. And we'll start in verse 3. John 4:3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So it's about noon. Jesus was traveling. I don't know if he was walking or whatever, but he was tired. So he sat down on a well. So does God ever get tired? No, but Jesus Christ got tired. So what does that mean? Oops. Okay. So he got tired, right? Sat on the well. And there, verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Right, so I got to tell you about this, what's going on here. There was some heavy racism going on in this area at that time, right? I mean, we think we have racism that's bad today. At this time, it was ridiculous. Crazy racism. The Samaritans and the Jews, they like did not hang out together. You know, they did not get along so well. If the Jews could not go through Samaria to get to where they were going, they would not go. So it was a crazy thing. There was racism there too. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, right? So I told you that. They didn't really get along. But meanwhile, Jesus is just talking to this woman. The love of God breaks culture. It breaks through racism. It breaks through ageism. It breaks through whatever other isms you want to put in there. It's just the love of God. It doesn't matter who the person is. It's just the love of God. This broke through culture. Where did we end up? Have no dealings with the Samaritans. Then verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? And then she starts getting like kind of attacking Jesus here. She gets all offended. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said, do you even know who I am? I am Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I shouldn't even be talking to you. No, he didn't. And what's really cool is that you see that Jesus is like just gentle. He's like gentle. He takes care of this woman. Doesn't matter that she's a Samaritan woman and they don't really get along, those cultures. What does he say? Then verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She kind of changed her attitude a little bit, right? The love of God tenderizes people. It breaks through. It breaks through to the heart. It breaks down walls. Jesus Christ was just tender to her. He just took care of her heart. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says that the love of God is not easily provoked or upset. If Jesus Christ was like, who is this woman who's like all offended at me? Let me yell at her. He wouldn't have had this great witness here. And from this, a bunch of other people get in the word, which is pretty cool. We just need to be tender. We need to be loving. You know, don't let everything just like throw you off where you freak out. The love of God, it's just, it's kind, it's tender. And it will break down walls. Turn to Romans chapter 2, please. Romans 2, verse 4. Can I get another volunteer to read that for me? Romans 2, 4. Anybody? LJ again? I don't think so. We need Andres, there you go. Romans 2, 4, please. LJ, I like the enthusiasm, though. It's good stuff. You can stand up and read it. I know, me too.
Romans 2, 4. For despite it, thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Right, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Repentance means to change your heart. It's the goodness of God that causes people to change their heart. God never manipulates, ever. God never manipulates. He never forces. It's the love of God. It's the tenderness of God. The goodness of God, it says here, that leadeth to repentance, to a change in heart. You can force people to do stuff. You can manipulate people and get them to do what you want to do. But you can't change their heart. That's not going to change their heart. The way to change someone's heart, to break down the walls, to really get to the heart, is with love, the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says, seeketh not her own, which is to seek your own benefit. Sometimes we need to reprove people. You know, sometimes it's not always just like gentle and you're kind and everything. Sometimes you need to reprove people harshly. But when you reprove somebody, the heart of that is not that, like, I'm better than you and I'm going to reprove you and tell you that you're wrong from the word. That's totally opposite of God's love. When we reprove someone, the whole heart is that we want to get them back in fellowship with God. We want to restore them. We want to get them back on track to help them. And so when we reprove someone, the heart is, or should be, I just want to help that person. I want to help you. And sometimes you do have to do that. You can't always just be lovey-dovey all the time. You know, if someone's off the word, sometimes you got to hit them with the word. Tell them that they're off. Get them back onto the word. And that'll really help them if they listen to you. And that's part of the love of God, believe it or not. You know, Jesus Christ had to reprove people sometimes and be kind of harsh sometimes. But it helped the people that he was harsh to if they listened. Let's see. So Turn to John chapter 8, please. Go back to John chapter 8. So you could try to manipulate people to do what you want, but if that's your heart, then that's definitely not the love of God. Things are to be used, people are to be loved, right? And don't get those turned around. John chapter 8. You know, think of a time where someone loved you with the love of God and it really just got to you. You know, it just broke into your heart in a good way. I'm sure we've all been affected by that sometime, where it really just tenderized your heart. And I was thinking about this for myself, and I thought of, you know, there's been plenty of times, but I thought of one time 9 years ago, and it's still fresh in my memory. I was just finished my freshman year at college, and it was the summer, and I was going to do fellow laborers for the summer. And fellow laborers is a leadership training program. It's, you know, you learn a lot of the word, you learn how to take care of people, and it's really cool. You do stuff together with your household every night, stuff like godly stuff. You go witnessing, you read the word, that kind of thing. So I was going to do this thing for the summer. And so it was summer. I didn't have a job, so I got a job as a delivery driver for a restaurant. I made my money from tips from the good people of Milltown. And so I really had no money at all. And so our schedule that night, what we were going to do was go on date night. We were going to have a date night. And so I asked someone on, I think it was Izzy that I took on a date that night, maybe. I don't know. But I had no money, right? So I'm getting ready or getting up to go upstairs to get ready for the date, whatever. And on my pillow, there's a note, a little note card, and $40. And on the note card, it said, "Have a great date." And it just, I don't know. It did something to me. It got to my heart, right? And that's what the love of God is like. You know, it gets you. I got to recover myself here. No, we're good. But, you know, it really tenderizes you. I don't know. It's $40. Who cares? $40 is whatever. But it got to me, and it was just awesome. We can love people like that. John chapter 8. Let's keep on going. A person needs to be loved the most when they deserve to be loved the least. Now, forget if I said that it's not about what people deserve. You know, we're not loving people because they deserve to be loved. It's a decision. You decide, I'm going to love. And nothing is going to change that. It's hard to do, honestly. Not a lot of people, like even believers, love truly with the love of God. Because it's hard to train your mind to do that, where nothing will affect that love. You know, you got to keep your mind focused on love. John chapter 8, verse 1 here. Read another one here. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. Do you guys know what adultery is? Yeah. Okay, good. So I won't explain it. But she was probably like half naked thrown into this fellowship, okay? And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And this will happen with people that get all religious, and they'll try to just hurt you with the Bible. That's not the love of God. You know, someone could tell you a verse and it just stings you and gets you. That's not necessarily the love of God. Did Jesus Christ always do his Father's will?
Yes.
So what was his Father's will in this situation? Exactly what he did. Was it for this woman to be stoned? I don't think so. Right? And he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and have a great life. No, he said, go and sin no more. He didn't tell her just, you know, go and have a great time. Go and sin no more. That's reproof right there. Go and sin no more. And that's what she needed. I don't know if he followed up later or whatever, it doesn't say, but that's what he did. He reproved her. And that's what people need sometimes. They need to be reproved. You know, it's not all just like happy rainbows and sunshine all the time. Sometimes you got to take care of stuff. And the other cool thing here is that, do you think that Jesus, after this, he like went to all of his friends and he was like, hey, guess what this woman was doing? She was doing the adultery thing. No, probably not, right? There's another verse. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, actually. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. After we take care of something, you know, after something's handled with somebody, you just never mention it again. It's just over. It's out. That's the love of God. We're too quick to run around and talk to our friends about what people do wrong and everything, and that's not the way to go. That's the way to hurt people. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7, it says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That beareth all things, that could be translated covers over with silence. To cover over with silence. And this is talking about the love of God. The love of God covers over with silence. And that's what we're to do. After something's handled, it's taken care of, never mention it again. It's gone. And you'll never see God do that. He'll never bring up stuff from your past. No way. And so that's what we need to also train our minds. You know, make a habit of, after something's over, forget it. Let it go. That's it. That's covering over with silence. And you might really help someone by doing that. Because doing the opposite could really hurt someone and, you know, honestly ruin their whole life. The love of God covers over it, covers over with silence. Go back to John, please, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Do you see the tenderness of Jesus Christ, though? I mean, going through this stuff, just tender. You know, you see people on the internet and stuff, Christian people that they're like just attacking people with God, and it's like in the name of God. That is no good. You know, that's not the love of God at all, right? I have a weird YouTube feed. That's all I'm going to say about that. It's not that weird. It's just like a weird combination of stuff. John chapter 12. We'll read another one here. And this one's really sweet. John 12, 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So Jesus Christ, he really didn't have that many close friends, as far as we know from reading the word. But these guys, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, they were siblings. They were his friends, his close friends. And it's just a sweet situation here. They made him supper, it says in verse 2. They're just making him dinner. He's over for dinner. Martha's serving. Lazarus is sitting at the table for dinner. Can you picture that? Like, it's just a sweet thing going on here. Verse 3. Then took Mary, the other sister, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And can you picture that? You know, when you read the word, you should picture this stuff, because this is like, there's a lot in here. It's what she's doing. It's the smell. It just filled the whole house that it smelled really good. This was just a really sweet time, Jesus Christ with his friends. And Mary here, that's the love of God. You know, that was like the $40 on my pillow. And it was Christina Armstrong. She left it anonymously, but it was just such a sweet thing. Wiped his feet with her hair, did the anointing with the ointment. Then verse 4, we see what happens. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So you have this sweet moment here, and it's just ruined by Judas here. You know, his bad attitude. Sometimes when you love with the love of God, you're going to get criticized. And we just got to be able to take it, you know. A lot of times, I don't know about a lot of times, sometimes the people doing the criticizing will be believers even. When you love with the love of God, you got to just keep loving with the love of God. You can't let stuff get to you. You can't let what people say get to you. You just keep on loving. If you know to do something with the love of God, like this sweet thing here with the ointment and everything, you just do it. And if people have a bad attitude about it, oh well. I mean, you could reprove them. That's what happens here coming up. But you're going to get criticized sometimes for loving. And that's, you know, it's just how it is. The love of God, acting on the love of God, is so contrary to the culture today that you're going to get some criticism. You know, we're going to get some criticism. But you keep on moving. You keep on going. You keep on loving. So this was a thing, you know, that Mary really loved with the love of God. Then you get to verse 7. Look how Jesus takes care of it. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." So what did he do? Right away, he took care of it. He reproved Judas here. Let her alone. Leave her alone. And that's another thing that we got to do with the love of God is stand up for each other. Stick up for each other, right? We're a family. You see someone acting on the love of God and they get, you know, attacked or whatever, stand up for them. We need to stand up for each other. And that's part of the love of God too. Let's see. Go to 1 Corinthians again. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 again. 1 Corinthians 13. And we're just going to read some of these qualities again here of the love of God. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll start in verse 4. And so it talks about charity. Charity here, you can translate the love of God. It's the love of God. Or the right way to love. Charity, the love of God, suffereth long. You know, it's a long time before it gets angry. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Right, we talked about that one. Not looking at your own interests. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And what Jesus Christ did here, he rejoiced in the truth. You know, he saw that she was doing something according to the love of God, and he commended her. You know, he was really thankful for this thing. And that's another thing that we can do for each other. If you see someone loving with the love of God, doing something really great, tell them, you know, tell them, hey, that was really cool what you did. That was right on. That was awesome. You know, encourage each other. And that it'll just help. It'll just help to keep it going, where we can build this culture where it's the thing to do is to love. You know, the thing to do isn't to talk about people behind their backs or something. You know, it's just to love. It's to cover over with silence. It's to not seek your own interests. It's not to manipulate people. We could build that culture if we start doing it. And we do that. We already do that. And, you know, we can keep getting better at it. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, please. So if we want to be ambassadors or good ambassadors, we have to act like the person that we're representing. And that's God, that's Jesus Christ, right? The way that he acted was some of these things that we read. He was tender, he was kind, he defended people, he reproved. That's all stuff that we can do to be good ambassadors. Proverbs 13, let me get another volunteer to read this one. Who wants... Now we have more. Taddeus, go ahead. Proverbs 13, you're going to read verse 17.
Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health.
Thank you. Yeah, a faithful ambassador is health. How cool is that? Is health. When we love with the love of God, it really can heal people. And I'm talking like not just their hearts, but physically can really heal people. When we are an ambassador, we give people the word with the love of God, and there's like no better combination than that. We can really take care of people and heal them physically with the love of God, because it's a spiritual thing. You know, it's not just like a lovey-dovey thing, whatever. It's a big deal. It's a spiritual thing. And we can really heal people. We can really take care of people. It's health. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 13. Are you guys awake?
Yes.
Can anyone hear me? Imagine you couldn't this whole time. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. This is right at the end here when it's talking about the qualities of the love of God. It says, charity, the love of God, never faileth. And you can take that as never faileth to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. The love of God will never fail to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Even if people make fun of you, even if people yell at you and tell you you're doing the wrong thing, the love of God will never fail to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. It's always the way to go. It's never going to fail. It's never going to be the wrong thing to do. Loving with the love of God is the way to go. And let's go one more place. You could turn to Luke, please. Luke chapter 7. And this is something that we do, and it's something that we can grow in. You know, just like so much of the stuff that we hear this weekend. It's stuff that a lot of us know, but also can grow in. And really, we want to make this a culture, you know, where it's the thing to do is to love with the love of God. It's the way to go. And we want to reprove each other when we see, you know, something that's not the love of God, something that's off the word. That's the right thing to do too. And it will make everything better. Luke chapter 7, this is like really awesome here. Luke chapter 7, verse 12, it says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. What a sad situation here. This woman, her husband died, and then her only son died. Pretty sad. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. It's the thing that's carrying this dead guy. And they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear or respect on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. How cool is that response to this thing? God has visited his people. When we love with the love of God, this is again what people can say. God has visited his people. Because we're loving with the love that God loves us with. Right? Jesus Christ, he loved people with the love that God loved him with. When we love other people like that, you know, we do these qualities, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13. We do these things that we read Jesus Christ did in the Gospels and John. When we love like that, people can again say that God has visited his people. And that's what we want. We want people to know God. We don't want them to know that just, you know, we're so great or we have a great group or whatever. We want them to know God. That's the goal, you know. That's why we're ambassadors, because we're ambassadors for God. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We want them to know who God and Jesus Christ are, not us. And so when we love like that, again, people can say that God has visited his people. So I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thanks for bringing us to this place in our lives where we get to hear your word. We get to love each other. We get to be part of this great family. I pray that we can see your word bigger. We can continue to grow. And that we can grow in the love of God too. And just see that bigger in our lives. Thank you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.